Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true, I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. But Jesus placed his strong and loving arms around me.
Yes, he did.
And he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. And no one else could take the sin and darkness from me.
Oh, how much.
Oh, how much he cared for me. Every day he comes with me with new assurance.
Hallelujah.
More and more I understand his words of love.
Of course, I'm home.
But I'll never know just why he came to save me.
Hallelujah.
Till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus.
Hallelujah.
There's no other friend so kind as he.
Hallelujah.
No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me. No one ever cared for me.
If you feel
like
that way, stand
Jesus.
Up, will you?
Jesus,
there's
feel
like he's
no
the one
other friend so
who
kind
loves you more than anybody in the world.
He.
So
no one else could take the sin and darkness from me.
No way.
Oh, how much he cares
for me. You know, when you think of how much Jesus cared for you, and you begin to feel that love and that joy that Christ has made real in your life, there's really nothing in the world to match it. It's wonderful. Now, we've got a program today that's top of the line. I believe that. You see the theme, my will is mine to make it thine. Have you got that? My will is mine to make it thine. I want you to talk today with me, and I'm going to take some calls. I believe I can do that today with everything set up right. And we're going to talk about how God has given us a right with a will, and that will is ours, but we are responsible to make it his. My will is mine to make it thine. Would you say that with me? My will is mine to make it thine. Now remember, in the garden, how that God gave his first man and first woman, gave them instruction that there was something in the garden that they could not touch. They could not involve themselves with that particular thing. Now, the only way God could have given them this choice was that they had a will. God created man with a will, with a capacity of choosing. And within that choice mechanism is thy will versus his will. God wanted men and women who would serve him because they wanted to serve him. He didn't want robots. He didn't want, you know, people walking around with strings attached. What God pulls the string when he wants action from them. He gave every man and woman, boy and girl, a will. Why do you have to discipline your children? How do you find it sometimes a deep responsibility to guide your children right because they have a will? And sometimes that will is stubborn. You don't want to break their will. You want to train their will. You don't want to break it. You don't want to destroy it, but you want to train them. Your will is a marvelous created ability. If there's any reason in the world to know that evolution is a big joke, it is creation alone could give man not just a person, not just a body, not just a mind, not just certain facilities, but the choice mechanism that they could make a choice. God gave man in his created ingeniousness, God gave man a will, the power of a will. Now, that's one of the big arguments in the Christian world between self-will, or I should say human will, and Calvinism, where everything's decided for you. Well, I thank God that I have a will, and I thank God that something got a hold of my heart, and I gave my will to God. My will was mine to make it thine. Would you say that? My will is mine to make it thine. Now, I want you to understand that your willpower is one incredible, incredible part of your being. That you will choose whether you want to go to heaven or whether you want to go to hell. The soul is eternal. It cannot be otherwise and have all the capacities that we have and have a life and world like we have. You must choose your future. You must choose whether you're going to be a Republican or a Democrat, whether you're going to be a liberal or a conservative. You must decide whether you're going to be an educated person or just a hardworking individual without the higher realms of education. Everything about your life is a choice of will. It really is. Everything about your life has within it a choice of will. But that will, that will has got to be carefully guided. That will has got to be something that intellect gets involved in, so that the will isn't just something that runs us around on all kind of wild goose chases. Our will is ours, but we've got to decide on what basis we will build that will and what will be the sum total of our life, how we will guide ourselves. Now, you got it. Have you got it? My will is mine to make it thine. Your will is yours to make it his. You must say that, and you must make that choice, and eternity will determine and decide and will be the end of your choice. Now, this is so beautiful to me. Again, I go back to tell you that if there's anything that probably is higher in this great realm of intellect that made you know you're not a creature evolved out of the cesspools of some muddy puddle somewhere, but that you were created and that God created you with this intellect and with this choice mechanism and with the determination on what basis you will build your life and how grand you want it to be or how cheap you want it to be. A person who drinks and takes drugs and does all of these crazy things, it's the willpower that has taken them in a dark and benighted path and direction. But you can choose to stop and turn around. And Jesus is there to help you turn around. I told a lot of people this week where I go, I would ask the question, do you want to know something about God that God don't know? And they would say, something that God don't know? Yes, something that God don't know. And boy, does that get people's attention. You may want to use it. And they will say, yes, tell me that. I said, God doesn't know the past sins that you have done that the blood of Jesus has washed away. God does not have a record of your sins that the blood has cleansed you from. Now, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that breathtaking? God doesn't know the sins. They're in the sea of God's forgetfulness, cast as far as the east is from the west. cast behind the back of God. That's what the Bible tells us. So your sins that the blood has washed away, the only thing that can wash your sins to where they're not known by God and will not be part of your judgment is the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus washes away our sins. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus washes away our sins. Now, we have radio, we have internet, we have Facebook. We've got a huge audience, and I love my audience with great favor, and I pray that you will get everything I'm saying today and make it a part of your thinking, okay? I will be so happy if you will. Now remember, Adam and Eve in the garden, they are the perfect picture of man having will. They are seen there in God giving them a choice and saying, don't take that. Don't take that. That will destroy you. You know why so many people reject Christ? The multitudes that are rejecting Christ, there's a whole lot more rejecting Him than receiving Him, that's for sure. And when you reject Christ, what you're really saying is, my will says no to you. No, no, I want my own life. I don't want your life. I want to go my way. I don't want to go your way. Everybody knows that when you receive Christ, you change the way you live. Now, a lot of people don't do it. That's because they don't really go on with Him. And so they really are rejecting Him by their action, by their conduct, by their misconduct, I should say. So you have a will. You can be a Christian or you can be a sinner. You can't be both at the same time. You can be a Christian or you can quit your sinning. You can turn your life to Christ. You say, I can't live without sin. Well, you can't, but He can. When you turn your life over to Him and you'll go on with Him, He will not only forgive your sins and wash them away, He will break your will. That's one thing the blood of Jesus is given to us for, not just to wash away our sins, but to give us victory over our will. Victory over our will. I do my will now because my will has become His will and His will has become my will. And so I'm not in some controversial condition of deciding every hour which way am I going. I've made up my mind. I gave my will to Him. My will became thine, His will. And when my will became His will, or His will became my will, however you want to say it, my life changed. Everything about me changed. And everything about my conduct changed. My conversations changed. My use of language changed. The things I did as habits changed. Everything changes when you give your will to Christ. Now, you got to understand, this has been a saying I've heard all my life, to make His will your will is to surrender all. Either His will is my will is thine, my will is His, and He's taken over my will. If I don't give Him my will, then I cannot be His. He's either will of all or He's not will at all. I should say He's the Lord of all, or He's not Lord at all. Do you understand that? If you don't give Him your will and start walking with Him, you cannot serve Him. I read a scripture this morning. I went and found it in the book of Luke 9:62. And Jesus said this. He said, he that putteth his hand to the plow and looketh back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Now, you may want to look that up. Luke 9:62. Luke 9:62. Jesus said it, not Brother Chambers. Jesus said it, if you put your hand to the plow and look back, you are not fit, F-I-T, you're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Boy, those are strong words. And they came from the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. When you decide to serve the Lord, you have to go on to give Him your will. It don't always happen the moment you get saved, but it will happen afterwards. The Baptists used to teach many years ago that a believer who had come to Christ and was born again must then continue to pray until they gave their will until Jesus became the Lord of their life. It was called Lordship Surrender. Lordship Surrender. Surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And that was a goal of Christians in the early days of the Baptist Church. They taught people, you don't just get saved. You get in that Bible. You get in your Word, the Holy Word. You begin to pray. You come regularly to church, and you pray until your will becomes the Lord's will in your life. That's what the Baptists called it. The Lord will self-will surrender. Well, the Methodists called it second work sanctification. Second work sanctification. And there's always somewhat of an argument, but I want to tell you something. When the Baptists taught a lordship surrender, it was really no different than the Methodists teaching second work salvation, because second work sanctification. Because in both cases, it's the giving up of the will. It's the surrender of the will. But it goes beyond the surrender of the will. It becomes a work of grace in the heart. The Lord works in here and makes you His, and works a work that breaks that old power of self-will. You got a self-will in you as big as a barrel, friend. And if you don't get that self-will under the control of the Lord Jesus Christ by His grace and by His righteousness, you'll be struggling all your life to live the Christian life. You can't live it by yourself. You can't live it in your own self-righteousness. The Bible speaks of self-righteousness, that it's like a filthy rag. That's people who just striving to do right without surrendering their will to God. When you surrender your will to God, the striving to do right ceases and becomes almost a natural, in fact, to a great degree, just becomes the natural way you live. Apostle Paul said something very powerful. I'll never forget reading this from Apostle Paul. This is in 1 Corinthians 9 and 27. He said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, after I preach to others, I myself should become a castaway. Now listen, that's the great Apostle Paul saying, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, after I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. That's 1 Corinthians 9 and 27. Now, you've got to learn that kind of Christian living, or you are not going to go very far in your walk with Christ. I'm here to talk to you today about my will is mine to make it thine. And I want you to say, my will is mine to make it thine. And I want to get that in your heart and get that in your mind, wherever you are. I got a text today on my Facebook from Kenya. I'm not able to respond to all the messages I get from all over the world. I get amazed. I've had two or three people that I've said, would you do my answering for me on Facebook? Will you respond to all of my inquiries? And each one of them started out, and after a few days, they come to me and said, there is no way. I don't have the time. You're getting hundreds of messages from people all over the world. And I know that, but I don't have any ability to do it. I was thinking today, I would love to get financially stable, stronger financially, so I could hire a person just full time, just to take care of all my Facebook inquiries. That would be wonderful, but I have no capacity at that right now, and I can't do it, and so I do not respond. This dear brother in Kenya, my brother, I hope you're listening to me, and I want to thank you. See how I wrote his name down. Ardigo. Ardigo. God bless you, brother, in Kenya. I hope you're listening. I got one other day from Pakistan. I get them from different places of the world. I am thrilled. I am thrilled to hear from you. But please understand, Brother Chambers only has one body and one mind and one capacity. I'm a pastor, and I'm a headmaster of a Christian school, and I have other things that I do. And this broadcast, I don't get come on here lightly. I prepare myself. I'm ready today to talk about my will is thine. My will is mine to make it thine, and hopefully help you to quit being bullheaded and quit being self-centered and quit doing your own thing every hour of the day. God's not going to change you so radically that you're not going to be happy. He's going to make you happy. You're going to be happier than you've ever been. Do you know what the fruit of the Spirit is? Love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. 9 fruit of the Spirit. That is God working in you. It's not you doing that for God. It's God doing that in you. God is making you a person of love and a person of joy and a person of peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. That's God working in you. Oh, I wish the world could understand that. It's not what you're doing for God. It's what God's doing in you. So he fills you with love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. That's just the fruit. And then you got the 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost that he will give you and fill you with. I can name them for you. The words of wisdom, the words of knowledge, of faith, and then the gifts of healing, the working of miracles, prophecy, and then discernment of spirits, and then tongues and interpretation of tongues. 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And these are all things that God wants to do in you, but he cannot do any of them in you until you give him your will. It is when you get born again, truly born again, you're made a new creature, and then you come to the point of surrendering your will to God. I mean, giving God your will. It may take you a while praying. You may have to pray a few days. You may have to pray a few weeks. If you've got an old stubborn will, it may take God a little while to get you to the place that you surrender. And when you surrender, his Spirit and his blood and his grace washes you and sets you apart and makes you a new creature, even stronger than when he made you a new creature at the new birth. And your life takes on strength. People say, I want to be filled. Excuse me. I want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. You're not going to get baptized in the Holy Ghost until your will is surrendered. You've got to bring this will to the place that you surrendered. And people seeking to be filled with the Holy Ghost with an old stubborn will never get there. That's impossible. The only way God's Holy Spirit can come in and take over is when you surrender, when you give him your will, when you become his vessel and you're ready to walk with him and serve him and obey him. I mean, you can tell this is a subject that I absolutely love. I absolutely love it. I absolutely love it. When you get saved, you've got to continue. You've got to continue. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. I want to read that to you. That's in Romans 11 and 22. You may want to turn in your Bible because this is powerful material. This will give you some idea of why you aren't making any progress in the Lord. You know that? It really will. It'll give you an idea of why you aren't making any progress in the Lord. It says, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fail severity, but to those who obeyed goodness, if thou continue. If thou continue in the goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. Brother, that's pretty strong stuff. If you continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. That's Romans 11, 22. I said Romans 11, 22. That's Paul's writing. The great apostle Paul, and he's saying to you that if you're going to walk with God, you've got to obey him, and you've got to surrender yourself to him, and you've got to let him have your will. Surrender is the giving up of my will. That's all surrender is, the giving up of my will, the moving from my will to his will. And am ready to live in the Bible, ready to live in prayer, ready to live in the house of God, ready to serve God Jehovah and his son Lord Jesus and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's your promise. I mean, these are benefits that God's given you, and you can have them, but you can only have them if you continue in his goodness. That's what Paul said. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. Paul used that term strongly. Thou shalt be cut off. Well, he said the same of himself. He said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means. Otherwise, after I preach to other people, I myself should be, and he used the term, a castaway. A castaway. Now, I'm coming to you, friend, with a longing to have a Holy Ghost revival in America, a divine sovereign awakening. I mean a divine sovereign visitation from God in his church. And the Bible says, we love the scripture in 2 Chronicles, where he says, if my people, which are called by my people called by my name will turn from their wicked ways, their sins, and surrender to me, look to me, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their lands. That's what the Lord said. You want to have a revival that your family gets saved? I was listening to Cyrus Radio a moment this morning, and a testimony came on. It was in the gospel singing station, and a testimony came on, and I didn't get the man's last name. His first name was Donnie, and he told about his daddy when he was backslid on drugs, destroying his own life. His daddy set himself to pray 2 hours every day for his son until his son got back to God. 2 hours every day, the father set himself to pray for his son till his son got back to God. I'm glad to tell you that 16 months ago, I set myself with the same thing. 2 hours, 3 hours a day until a Holy Ghost revival came to Charlotte. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is already brooding over the city, and I believe it is very close at hand. You will hear when the fire starts falling. You will hear when large numbers of people start getting saved. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. I got family members that I'm spending 2 and 3 hours a day on my face for them until they're ready with Christ and ready to meet God. I cannot slow up. I will not slow up. I'm only 83. I have a few years. I got a living brother who's 92. 91 or 92, I forget which. And so I'm healthy. I'm healed. And the Lord has given me a hunger for revival. And I want you to be in the middle of it. All right. Hey, I'm supposed to have discussion. I hadn't even looked to see if I was getting any calls. My number to call, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Now, I want us to go to one of the greatest promises in the Bible about the surrender of the will. It is called sanctification. Now, I don't want to scare you with that word sanctification. I haven't used it for the very reason that it's a word that isn't getting any attention today. And so I just want to talk about the surrender of your will. And then God's acceptance of your surrender. And then God, in his grace, effected that surrender so it isn't just in the head, it gets in the heart. See, when you come to surrender to God and you mean it, and you pray and you give yourself to him, that's in your head, that's your surrender, that's in the power of your will to make that choice, to make that surrender, then God does something for you bigger than you. And that is, he effects that in your heart. You effect it up here. He effects it down here. You up here decide to be a sanctified person, to give your will to God. He down here enables you by the Holy Spirit and by the power of the blood. The power of the blood. Notice that. Say that with me. The power of the blood. He enables you to do what your head has chosen to do. That's the Christian life. That's what being saved is. You decide to surrender to Christ, to repent of your sins, and to cling to the blood of Jesus, and to trust in that shed blood to wash away your sins. And you make that choice, and you go to the altar, and if you're really sincere, you're probably shedding some tears. You're sick of sin. You're sick of being a liar. You're sick of fornication. You're sick of things that you've been doing. Maybe you're a drug addict. Maybe you've become a sodomite. Maybe you are a lesbian. Whatever may be your sins, you may just be an adulteress, same thing, really. And in this fornication, you've made a mess out of your life. And so you come to Christ, and you repent of your sins, and you give him your life. And he then effects that surrender in you. And the Bible said he makes you a new creature. He makes you a brand new creature. You're not the same. That's what the Bible said. 2 Corinthians 5, read it for yourself. Verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, old things have passed away. That's O-L-D, old things have passed away. And behold, all things are become new. You can't do that, but he can. That's why we say we're saved by grace. We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. We're saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. You can't save yourself, and you can't become saved because you start doing better. You can't just clean up some of your acts and be a little different person, maybe start going to church, and that don't make you saved. You're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. The same thing with lordship surrender. When you surrender yourself to his lordship, and then he accepts your surrender, he effects that inside of you. He sets you apart. He gives you a new liberty, a new liberty. You don't have something making you lie. You don't have something in there making you cuss and swear. You don't have something in there making you be bound to habits of tobacco and habits of alcohol and drugs. That happening inside of you breaks those powers because you surrendered your will and God accepted your surrender of your will and God did this great thing inside of you. This is wonderful. This is just old-timey gospel preaching. That's all this is. I'm just bringing you what the old-timers brought you. Baptists, Methodists, Pentecostals, Presbyterians. It don't matter. Whenever there's been an awakening, this is what happens. When there's been a great revival, this is what takes place. People begin to get saved, and they begin to surrender their will, and God starts setting them apart in righteous living, and the community is turned upside down. The alcoholics have quit drinking. The beer guzzlers have quit guzzling. And the fornicators have repented of their fornication and gone home and asked their wives or husbands to forgive them and cleaned up their act because God changed their life. Now, this is as good as I can give you, but let's give you the Bible. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians, this is what Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica. This is what Paul, Apostle Paul, wrote to the church at Thessalonica to teach them the things of Christ and the things of the gospel. And he says in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 16, rejoice evermore. Now, you think you can rejoice. You wait till you completely surrender your will and he accepts your will. And the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Oh, I'm telling you, it will come upon you like a storm. You will be a brand new person and you'll be happy. So he said, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks. For this is the will of Christ Jesus concerning you, of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit as he moves upon you, as he works in you to make this new person out of you, as he convicts you of something that you should not be doing, and you give it up, and then you get cleansed from it, and the need of it just vanishes, and you go on with God. Despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Now listen, abstain from the very appearance of evil. Abstain from the very appearance of evil. Now, Paul is talking to us about things that have to do with our will. Things that have to do with our will. He's actually bringing us to a point of surrendering our will to God. Now, read it yourself. Rejoice evermore. He goes on. He's talking about things that help you bring yourself to the place of surrender to God. But then look at how he ends that. He says, and the very God of peace sanctify you, W-H-O-L-L-Y. That's holy, from head to toe, because you have surrendered. He sanctifies you from head to toe. Listen now, and the very God of peace, this is what God does. You've done these other things. You're praying without ceasing. You've abstained from the very appearance of evil. You rejoice in being happy in the things of God. You're proving all things, and you're holding on to that which is good. See, God's teaching you to get in the Bible and start living right. But then he goes further than just you in your head living right. He tells you what the Lord will do for you because you have chosen in your will to surrender to him. You've given your will to the Lord. You've given yourself over to the Lord. And now the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord. I'm telling you, that's so powerful. Brother Chambers, I got to read that over and over, okay? 1 Corinthians 5, chapter 5, beginning with verse 16. 1 Thessalonians, forgive me. 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning with verse 16. And read all the way to 23. And 23 is where he puts the nail in the casket. He puts the nail in the death of your old man. He seals that surrender of your will. He seals it with an act on his part. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. He does the work inside of you that gets your whole body in harmony with your whole mind. Your mind has said, I want to be surrendered. I want to be his. And now the Holy Spirit effects that inside of you, and you're set apart for God. You're set apart for his kingdom. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. Now notice that word blameless. He's making you a holiness person. He's making you a set apart believer. He's doing something in you that is so breathtaking that you have to, it has to be God. It can't be flesh. It has to be the hand of God. It can't be the hand of man. He sanctifies you wholly and preserves you blameless until when? Until Jesus comes. Oh, I'm preaching tomorrow on the great rapture of the church. I'm going to give you 9 absolute proofs that prove that Jesus will come before the 7-year tribulation period begins. I will do that tomorrow. You don't want to miss it. In fact, I'm probably going to be preaching on the same subject both morning and evening because I want to have plenty of time. And at the end of the sermon in the morning and tomorrow night, when the altar call is over, I'm going to come right down to the front. And if anybody wants to ask questions who comes in to visit, not my people now, they can be there and they can ask questions. But I'm doing this for my audience. I'm doing this for people all over the city. So many people are being taught against the pre-trib rapture. They're being taught this horrible idea that we're going to be here during that tribulation period. Or at least some say half of it and some say all of it. Well, I'm telling you none of it. None of it. We're going to leave here before that tribulation even begins. And I will prove it in the morning. Without a question, I will prove it. You say you can't prove it. Well, you come and let me try. I promise you, if I don't prove it, I'll take your question and then I'll prove it. Because the Bible is just so powerful. It is so real. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord. Now, we're talking today about my will is mine to make it thine. My will is mine to make it thine. Now, that cannot be effected and done till you're born again. You got to start with having your sins washed away. You got to come to Christ and surrender, repent of your sins, be sorry for your careless living, ask him to forgive you, accept his forgiveness. The blood will wash you clean, make a new creature out of you, and then you must go on to find the will of God in your life. He may call one of you to be a preacher. He may call another to be a missionary. He may want some of you to be lawyers. He may want some of you to be doctors. He may want some of you to be just hard workers. He may want you to be a pastor or an evangelist. He may want you just to be a helper around the church. We need some more helpers around our church. I've got an opening for a secretary right now, the media secretary. Our lady there, hard worker, she retired. And she was at the age to retire, had been for some time, and chose to retire. Left me, of course, in desperate need of a media secretary. I need somebody. We need a pianist. God may choose you to be a pianist at Paul Creek. I want to make sure it's God. And I want to make sure you're ready to live a clean and godly life. Because when you sit on our piano, you got to be an example of purity, an example of godliness. Because we want people to see you and me and everybody else in this congregation as an example of righteousness. Now, I'm opening the lines, and I'm going to try to watch this phone. I can tell when it rings. I'll cut it up a little bit so I can hear it, okay? And you dial if you have a question about this very wonderful truth of the will of man and woman being set apart for God. The will of a man and woman, once they're saved, the will of that person being set apart by an act of God that makes you His. You call right now, and I will answer 1-704-391-0588. So watch my head. You'll know I'm watching. 1-704-391-0588. Now, I got plenty to say and plenty to read because this Bible deals very strongly with this whole idea of being set free from the power of human will. You have a human will. Some of you it's stronger than others. Some of you it's more stubborn than others. Some of you it's like a bulldog in there. Some of you, you're kind of calm and kind with yours. Everybody has a different level of their disposition, of their reaction to the self will. Some of you will be on the highway and somebody will get in your way and you'll blow up on the highway because you got a hot temper and it blows up. That's in your will. That's will action. You understand? All of this road rage is will action, the action of people in their will. I mean, people are killing all over Charlotte. What is it, 70 some that have died this year from a homicide? 70 something in Charlotte, one city? That's horrible. What's wrong? People act in their own will. They are undisciplined. They don't care a lick about nobody but themselves. They are so self-centered and self-serving until nobody else means a thing to them. And, you know, the church is full of people who are self-serving. They don't care about what the pastor says. They don't care about what the Bible says. They'll do what they please regardless. It doesn't matter. And we've got a church world full of that because people have not surrendered their will to Christ. See, the whole problem in the church today is the church is lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, because they've never surrendered their will. You cannot be an on-fire Christian until your will is broken, until your will is surrendered. You cannot be an on-fire Christian. It's impossible. No person listening to me can be baptized in the Holy Ghost if your will has not been sanctified. You see people around that work near you, and they talk about being Pentecostal and full of the Holy Ghost, and they blow up at the snap of a finger. You know they're just talking hypocritically. They are not what they claim to be. And the church world is so full of hypocrites, and a lot of sinners say, I'm not going to church because it's so full of hypocrites. Well, now let me give you a little warning here. You're either going to go to church with those hypocrites or you're going to go to hell with those hypocrites. And I would suggest it would be better to go to church with them than to go to hell with them. Would you agree with that? I think that's pretty good advice if you ask me. Because you wasn't asking me, were you? Well, listen to me. I'm talking about your will being surrendered. Your will. All right, I'm listening. I was hoping you'd call in and let's have some good conversations. I love a conversation with my listening audience. We're talking about my will is thine to make it thine. My will is mine, I'm sorry, to make it thine. My will is mine to make it thine. How about you? Is your will yours and you've never made it His? If you have, you say, well, am I saved? You can be saved, but if you continue, you will go on to surrender of your will. And that's what you want to set your sights on because you're the benefactor. You're the one that's going to be the blessed person. You're the one that's going to be more I've never seen a person yet who lived a sanctified life that wasn't a happy and joyous person. I've never seen one. You just cannot be set apart for God. Washed in the blood, your will broken by the blood of Jesus and by the grace of God, and you're now free of habits, you're free of addictions, you're free of bondages, you don't blow up and get all mad every time somebody snaps their finger at you, and you are a genuine, gentle Christian. Love, joy, peace. Notice these are the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That will be the result of the surrender of your will. I promise you, I sit here and make a promise that is bona fide and dependable. You surrender your will to God, and you do it until you know that He has done in your heart what you did with your head. You do with your head, you surrender. Then you trust him and seek him until in your heart he effects that surrender. And his grace washes you and makes you gentle unto things that are pure and holy. And before you know it, you're going to be a different kind of a person. You really are. Now, I want to take you, if I might, to Philippians 3. And I want us to look at a little bit of Apostle Paul's testimony. Nothing I like better than a good testimony. I heard that testimony this morning of that young man named Donnie. I don't know what his last name was. I didn't get a chance to listen to that much, but he was doing it on the Cyrus Radio, the Southern Gospel network of that. And sometimes you have some wonderful singing there. And I was listening, and so this man is testifying. And he's telling how he got in drugs and what a mess he made out of his life and how deep into sin he had gone. And what a wreck, everything destroyed. But he had a daddy who was praying 2 hours every day, committed to praying 2 hours a day for that son. And that son finally got saved. His daddy didn't want to die. He said, I want to stay here praying until my son is saved. And he kept praying and his son got saved. Hallelujah. Well, I'm praying like that for a lot of reasons and a lot of people. I've got a lot of the enemies around Charlotte that have grown to hate me. And in most cases, I have no idea why they hate me, except I just say it like it is. I mean, I don't know anything to preach but what the Bible says. And I say it strong because I want you to know it's not me talking. It's God talking. And the Holy Ghost anoints me in so many beautiful ways. I'm not worthy of none of it. And listen, you better hear me now. We are fixing to have a visitation in Charlotte. We're going to have a divine visitation. I don't know how far it's going to go, but I know it's going to happen on this piece of property, and I know it's going to be genuine. I don't know how it will start. I don't know how the end will be. I just know I'm waiting on God and don't want to die. I'm only 83, so I'm sure I've got at least a good 10 years before I have to go. Something unusual God allows, and he's not going to do that, I don't believe. I'm right here working for him, loving him, preaching to you, loving you, telling you what I believe and what the Bible says with all my heart. You know I'm sincere. You know I'm not saying something to you just to be a smart aleck. I'm giving you what God's given me in this Bible. When you stay on your knees 2 and 3 hours a day, it's amazing how the Bible comes at you like a storm. I'm preaching tomorrow this sermon, and one of my points is going to be the people, the scoffers. You know we got a world full of scoffers that scoff the rapture. That scoff the pre-trib rapture, that Jesus is coming before the 7 years begins. And you've got the whole Calvinist world that don't even believe in the rapture. Or as a whole, maybe probably some of them do, but as a whole, they don't believe in the rapture. You've got the whole charismatic world. The whole charismatic world, almost totally, are now against the rapture. And they're caught up into post-millennialism and some of the false doctrines. The scoffers. You know what the scoffers are doing? They're proving that Jesus is coming. The Bible says in the end, there will be scoffers. In the end, you study the church ages. Nobody's ever fought the coming of the Lord before. You can't find it in any of the church experiences and the church histories and what the historians have wrote about the church world. They never were fighting the rapture. They never were fighting against the Lord coming. They was always excited about the Lord coming. And so now at the end, right here at the beginning, it has to be the beginning, because the rapture will start the day of the Lord, and then it will be 7 year tribulation. Then Jesus comes back to the earth and defeats the Antichrist and all of those demons and devils at the battle of Armageddon. He sets up his kingdom in Jerusalem, and he's going to reign 1,000 years on this earth, and I'm going to reign with him. So you better get used to me if you're going to go to heaven, and I'm going to get used to you if you're going to go to heaven, because we're going to have one another to love and enjoy fellowship with for 1,000 years, and then eternity begins, and New Jerusalem comes down out of heaven to the earth and sets itself up in some marvelous place, probably right over earthly Jerusalem. That's 1,500 miles square and 1,500 miles high and 12 stories. You just don't know what's awaiting us, friend. You talk about Christians and the privilege of being a Christian. It's overwhelming. It's overwhelming. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Quote that with me, would you? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Psalms 103, verse 2. Now, friend, we are living in a happy, happy day. And I got to get you. Oh, man, I was supposed to go to Philippians and share a little bit of Apostle Paul's testimony. Now, here is a picture of a man who knew what he was talking about. Now I'm talking about it. What it means to surrender your will to God. What it actually means to surrender your will to God. But those things, listen, this is Paul talking, but those things which were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. See, the surrender of his will. Those things which I counted gain to me, Paul said, I counted loss for Christ. You see, he was a great man. He was a rich man. He spoke at least five languages fluently. He was known among the Pharisee company in Jerusalem. His position was a position of wealth, not just from his present position, but from his family position in Tarsus. He was a man of great wealth, a man of great prestige, a man that was being known and understood all over the world. And he said, I gave it up. For what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Now listen, here's a testimony of a man who gave his will to God. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things for loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, D-U-N-G, that I may win Christ. Paul gave up everything and counted it but dung that he might win Christ. He was, you know, when you get sold out to this point, you will be so happy. You will be such a joyous person. You say, I don't want that kind of life. You will love that kind of life. And I'm telling you, Jesus said it plain, except you deny yourself and take up your cross, you cannot be my disciple. You have to understand, to become a Christian, you've got to get ready to surrender your will. It don't happen all overnight. It comes gradually as you seek the Lord in his face. But you get good and saved, you'll want to be sanctified. You'll see those Christians who've been sanctified shouting and praising God and so full of joy. It is wonderful to be an old-fashioned Christian. There's nothing like it. And there's so few of these kind of people today. My heart aches. All of you out there, you've been great, dedicated, Holy Ghost-filled Christians of the past. Get back on fire, because you're going to miss the rapture. He's not coming after the lukewarm. He said, I would you were either cold or hot, because you're lukewarm. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. That's what he said, not me. Don't put that on me now. Don't get mad at me, because I'm telling you what the Lord said. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but done that I may win Christ. And be found in him, Paul says. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. See, you get saved and you try to start living right, and that's your righteousness, and you're doing your best, but you surrender your will and he sanctifies it. And then you move beyond your self-righteousness and move into his righteousness. That's a wonderful step. I'll never forget when that happened to this boy. I mean, I was this little ragged kid from down in the farm. My dad was an alcoholic. Committed suicide a year and a few months later. There were so many things back there. I lied and cursed and stole, and it was just terrible. But I came to Christ, and it just turned my life upside down. I've been joyful ever since. He then gave me my Juanita. 62 years together with that sweetheart, laboring and working for God. I don't know what he's going to do these last years, but I promise you it'll be good. It'll be good. He may give me a precious widow who wants to serve God with me and help me and keep me from being so lonesome. I'm leaving that in God's hands. This church needs a pianist. I need a secretary. We will need other teachers as our school grows. You know, just so many things that they're in need of. And you need to surrender your will and let God have His way in your life. If your will isn't surrendered, I'm going to tell you, you're not ready for the rapture. If your will isn't surrendered, if you're just kind of half-hearted and half-baked, in and out and up and down, you're not ready for the rapture. He said, I would you were either hot or cold, because you look warm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. That's what the Lord said. Go read it in Revelation chapter 3 for yourself. Don't take my word, and don't be careless about it. Don't be careless about it. I beg of you. Well, here's Paul. He continues, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, which is in the law, but that which is through faith, the righteousness of God, which is by faith. Oh, I love that righteousness that comes from God. I love that feeling that He's made me pure. I love because He's put love in me. I have joy because He put joy in me. I have peace because He filled me with peace. You can look at me and tell that I'm a man full of joy. I'm a man full of peace. I'm a man full of happiness. There's things in my life that I want to change, but I'm waiting on God to change them. He's got to do it, not me. I don't want to do it. I want Him to do it, that I may know Him. I love this. Paul said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable to His death. If by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already obtained or already made perfect. Not that I've already obtained or already perfect. That I may apprehend. But this one thing I do, that I may apprehend that for which I was apprehended. I want what God planned for me. Did you know God has given every one of us a predestination? God has given every one of us remember that was the program last week, predestination. If you haven't heard it, go back. It's on internet. It's on Facebook. We have copies of it here. I want you to know when you are predestinated, He sets a pattern for your life that's bigger and better. That the devil and the world has nothing to compare with a predestinated life. They absolutely have nothing to compare. And Paul said, that's what I want. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I'm not even satisfied, Paul said, with how far I've gone, with how much I've surrendered, with how much I've done that God called me to do. But he said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. Now, I want to end with that. I've got 5 minutes here to make sure you understand that you can have this grand life, that it's yours. Your will has got to be surrendered. Your will is yours right now if you've never been sanctified by the blood and the will of man set for God, but it can be. And all you've got to do is surrender. All you got to do is make yourself His. You've been born again. You got to be washed in the blood. You got to be a new creature in Christ. And then you've got to go on after this word and after the things of God in prayer and give all you are to God. And He will gracefully and graciously guide you in this pathway toward the blessed hope and the great things that God has in store for you. And again, I don't know what to tell you is God's will for your life. If you're not married, He's got the right wife for you. If you're a young lady, He's got the right husband for you. And don't you young people get married because you like the looks of this person. Maybe they look sexy and you think, man, he would be a sexy person to live with. Listen, friend, that's not what makes happiness. Happiness is the will of God in your life. Finding the young man God's chosen. Finding the young lady God's chosen. If you're a pastor, God will send you. He calls you to preach and then He sends you to preach. And then He goes with you and anoints you to preach. And he's the only one who can set that pattern. Nobody can set that for you. God's got to do it for you. God's got to do it in you. And so you make your will His. You make your will His. You give all you are to Him. And I'll assure you, He'll guide you right down that pathway. And it'll be wonderful. It'll be wonderful. Now I want to pray. Everybody listening, please stop and let me pray. Father, I'm praying for my great audience that you will speak deeply to them, that they will feel the things that Brother Chambers has tried to say to them today. That if they're not born again, they're not saved, that you will make them hungry to be washed in the blood, to have the blood of Jesus wash away their guilt and wash away everything that they've done that was evil and wrong, and to make a new person out of them, a brand new creature, a brand new person washed in the blood, saved by the blood, born again. Born again. Now, once you get saved and born again, you got that will in you that's got to be conquered. It's got to be brought under the control of the Heavenly Father by the Holy Spirit. And you surrender that will. You spend time in your Bible. Spend time in your Bible. Reading that book and searching everything. Read 1 John 17. I didn't get to that. Jesus prayed for his disciples that they may be sanctified. He even said, I sanctify myself, that you also might be sanctified. Praying for his disciples to be sanctified. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, for the will of God is your sanctification. God wants your will surrendered to him. That's all I can tell you. Is God wants you that you, once you're saved, is to bring your will to him and surrender it. And let him effect that surrender in your life with the wonder of his grace and the wonder of his presence. And joy will come like a river. I promise you, joy will come. There will be no ifs and ands. And he'll make a happy person out of you. Now, I got to remind you about what I'm preaching tomorrow. I want you to understand, we are right at the door of the rapture. The only two things that's got to happen, and they may happen one before the other. I don't know exactly how they will happen. But I'm here to tell you that we've got to have a revival, and we've got to have a rapture. We've got to have a revival, and we've got to have a rapture. You on the air, may I help you, please?
How you doing? This is David from Massachusetts.
David from Massachusetts. We're still on the air, David. I don't have but just seconds, so what can I do to help you?
So I was on the air, but I was calling about a question. Did I call you after the air?
Okay, you call me in about 15 minutes. Now wait 15 minutes. I got a lot of things to do, and I'll be glad to be a blessing to you, David, okay?
Thank you.
God bless you. Now, friend, I want to tell you about what I'm preaching tomorrow. 9 absolutes that the rapture will occur before the 7-year tribulation period begins. 9 absolutes that the rapture will occur before the great 7-year tribulation begins. Now, I'm going to prove it. There is no ifs, there's no doubt. One of them is going to be the scoffers. The scoffers out there coming against the rapture, the Bible said that they would occur at the end. The last day. Go and look on my Facebook and you'll see the exact words that is said. Let me read them to you in 1 Peter. I love the Word of God. It's always so right on target. I mean, whatever the truth is, you'll find it in this wonderful book. Do you know that? You'll find it. I hope I can find it quickly for you. I'm wondering here. Hallelujah. Where did I find it? The scoffers in the last days. Well, I don't believe I'm going to find it. I had it memorized and it slipped. Oh, that happens when you're my age. But I'm telling you, the scoffers prove beyond a doubt that we're on the verge of the Lord's coming. Do you hear me? The scoffers prove beyond a doubt that we're on the verge of the Lord's coming. At any moment, friend, I got my phone messed up. Oh, I got it. 1:59 here. I got 35 seconds. Listen, I love you. Jesus is coming. Come hear me preach in the morning. Or tomorrow night, but in the morning, 11 o'clock, I will be preaching, and I guarantee you my sermon will be a blessing. I really believe that, and I want you to enjoy it. I want you to get right in the middle of it. It will bless your life. It will change you. It will work deep things inside of you, and I want you to be here tomorrow. I love you. Jesus is coming any moment. Any moment, don't miss next week. Great programs we're having, and I love them. I love them.
How he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No! is from me. Oh, how much he cares for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. But Jesus placed his strong and loving arms around me.
Yes, he did.
And he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. And no one else could take the sin and darkness from me.
Oh, how much.
Oh, how much he cared for me. Every day he comes with me with new assurance.
Hallelujah.
More and more I understand his words of love.
Of course, son.
But I'll never know just why.